once a week, they wouldn't last that long. Maybe on a Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. But I'm thinking he'd come out on the weekends, because he had his family to take care of too, and he wouldn't be able to deliver them years. Now they got, you know, they got better vehicles than everything else, and then, well, they wouldn't have to go on visit deliver on Saturdays, because they should have the, no. Well, they go to the store now to get it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just here, carry that black ice, too. Carry that black ice, or block of ice, excuse me, the block of ice and the tongs, just bust that ice up, put in our wooden wood chest, like a cooler. It wasn't a freezer, it was a cooler, because they had that ice for the cooler. Yes, they had them old ice boxes, and they had to put their own ice in there to keep things cool. If they have. Okay.
Well, as a kid, you remember hearing about World War II and you kind of.
Yes, Rick, I remember World War II because I was in my dad's shed. My third cousin passed through the family marriage. He was there. I remember right to today. All three of us was in that shed. And they had the old radios years ago that Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. And that's what I remember when I was a little kid. They were shocked everything just like today, that nobody would ever dream that they would have war in the United States. So the two towers came down. Oh, yes, I remember the. Well, I don't remember hearing the news, but I believe someone, my mother might have came out. Not that I remember, that she came out. Somebody came out and told us that Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. Oh, yes, I went to the family theater and Monroe Theater. Mostly hang up a family theater at the time. They had them old cowboy movies on all the time. And they're talking about the popcorn nowadays, it's all just outrageous. But we used to pay about 10 cents a bag, a big bag of popcorn for family theater. And it was delicious. We had to buy our own candy bars. Well, I would say buy our own candy bars. We allowed so much for allowance. They'd say allowance. They just give us enough for theater, take it for theater, and go buy a popcorn or a candy bar, maybe a drink, if they could afford it. But we didn't ask for much, because we couldn't ask for much, because we knew they didn't have it. But today, yes, it isn't really the kids' fault. It's the parents, the grandparents, that get these kids spoiled. And anything they want, they get. And the toys they got is terrible. They play with them for a while, and then they throw them in the corner. And years ago, we cherished all the toys. Even my sisters cherished their dolls. It wasn't much. It was a doll, and it was a toy. But there was. They were a toy, and it wasn't much of a toy like they have today. It's made big cars, and had like these ragged head down. I couldn't get it out. Ragged head down, and sometimes they made all the straw. had put clothes on. And then that was their doll. And now they got all kinds of dolls that look just like human. No, I don't remember today, about today, that far back. Make a lot of things I can remember that happened yesterday, but between the now, you say, like commercials or something like that, maybe they showed Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck or something like that between the, they didn't have too much advertisement, they didn't show nothing about the wars or nothing like that. They talked to that on radios. They don't show in the public. I went to service. January 53, I went in the service. I was drafted because, well, I didn't care about going in, but the neighbor says, well, you got to be drafted because you got to have somebody take care of us back here. They've got to stop them someplace. And that's not the same as today. They draft the young boys because they have to stop them. They had to put them in service as 18 years old. I was 18 years old. And I got out. Oh, yes, it was. Well, I took my basic training in Camp Chaffee, Arkansas. But I was at Fort Custer here. I got back from my relief at furlough. I was over my home by 2 weeks. Then I went up to California. Stoma, California, stayed there for a while. And the guys, they go out back of order. Well, mine's asked, and the other ones say A, B, C, and all three there. Well, the guys, it's A, B, they went first. Now, the one of my buddies that I took basic training with, I never seen him since. Because I do believe that they got, let's say, wiped out. Something happened to them, I don't know. But some good guys in that basic training. Just like my brothers. You get acquainted with the guys, you think you're on your own family. The same with the lieutenants and captains. Never forget your father. But they are your father because you listen to them. And the guys hiring them, they listen to them. That's just like a grandfather. Well, I had pretty good food since when I went in. I didn't kind of complain about food, even though in Korea. Well, in Korea, I volunteered for KP. And I volunteered for working with the cooks over in Korea. And I had good food. I slept with the cooks. The mess halls, I was working right with the cooks. They had a big, like a deuce and a half truck with a trailer, a big tank in the back, single trailer, single axle. And they filled that up with water, and maybe 14 miles from where we were, and come back and back up the hill and overhook the trailer. And that was good, pretty close to the afternoon. And then they had the chow at night, supper time, I would say, or lunch, supper time. So we call it supper time. And they, now the sun is going down, and I just remembered right today that it was on pretty close to Old Baldy, Korea. And that's where all the fighting were, hand-to-hand combat. And we were stationed there, and was in Busan, Yangtze Valley, Tucson, or Daejeon, Korean, maybe Daejeon. Then in my time I was off for the R&R, what you call R&R, that's your rest period. Oh, with the Korea, Japan. And that was there for two weeks, 12 days. And then it came back. And then to finish out, and left Korea. They wanted me to go. Well, I was working for the cook, too. And then I went in not the mess hall, mechanic, or not, working around the mechanics and all that, and working the motor pool. Well, one time they gave me, we went on the out training out, way out in the, say, big way, way out in the fields, and I was driving an old Jeep, and a colonel, I was hauling the colonel around. And there was a dry run, but he told me that, go back over there. Well, all the time, I thought he said, back up. Well, I did back up. I backed up pretty fast, made all kinds of dust. And I got kind of chewed out for that, because I was in a no-no area. He says, I didn't tell you to back up. So, wait a minute, change the subject. We're still in Korea here. That I'm talking about Korea. We used to have a Quonset over there. And they had, a Quonset hut for your smokes and cigarettes, smoke, candy, and supply place. I used to walk from up the hill, or I say down, we was on a hill. We had to walk down to another place in the area. And then we went to the Quonset and then I got my candy, and I never smoked. Right to this day, I don't smoke. But I got my candy and a few things like that, drinks. Soft drinks that I never drank. And but in the evening I did sleep in big tents. Must be about 14 guys in a tent over there. And we had the big pot-bellied stoves to heat in the wintertime, because it did get cold over there. And we had them things red hot. They burned by fuel oil. We had to turn them up so red hot to keep warm. The guys up by the had their bunks up by the, or their bunks or their bed up by the stove was burning up. The guys in the back was freezing because they was waiting the heat. There's no way I could control that thing. Wasn't thermostatic control like today. And we had the big tents over there to sleep in. So all together in the service, I was 17 and a half months total. But I could have been over, they asked me to, if I stayed in, they didn't want me to go to Hawaiian Islands. Well, I thought it over. So well, I'd be getting a raise and give me a raise. I was on a service 17 and a half months. I believe I said it before that I just talk here. But I was in it. I went in January, kind of March. I went in at 53 and got out 55. But I was in completely 2 years. The reason why I got out in 2 years, I was over, they say, overseas. I got out 17 and a half months. I was in service. No, I didn't say I was going to go. I didn't say I was. You asked me if I was going to. You asked about Dwight. Well, I would if I would have stayed in service. They asked me to stay in to go to Korea and out to Hawaiian Islands. They asked a bunch of us if we were wanting to go. But I think I was one of the guys that had took basic training. But we never went to Hawaiian Islands. We all come home. We went over from California. We went over in a two-stacker. I got believe it was on the water 12 days in a boat. They called it the General Meigs. It was overloaded, 600 people. They had it's carrying people from California to Japan. I would say they got off of Japan. But it was a big two-stacker. And it was overloaded. A big, big ship. But a lot of guys got seasick. But I didn't get seasick, right? I volunteered for KP because I like to eat. Or I did like to eat. And that's the reason I kept busy. Then lay around my bunk. Like the guys that lay in the bunks, they got sick. Up and down, over and on, over and on. Side by side. Yes, I had my mind occupied, and I didn't get sick. Then coming back, we had a ship. I wasn't as big as a two-stacker or a General Meigs. I don't can't think the name of the ship coming back, but it was smooth sailing both ways. Foot waves. It could be higher than 8 foot. We thought it. I thought it was 8 foot because we got the air on the ship. So we looked down. It's a long ways down. So we hit the Pacific Ocean both ways. It was at night. A friend of mine, my buddy, is Gordon Stone. We always hung around together, but him and I, it was at night, it's nice moonlight out, and the water kind of cooled down, calmed down, and we're singing, wasn't a big cell or something. I was going to say, come on, tell me what song it was. Well, anyway, we sung it together. It was a beautiful evening coming that night. Every night, nice shiny moon, and the water, the ship was going smooth. The water is going to hit the boat, you know, this quiet. I can't think the name of the song. We had a good time with that song. And I had a good time in service, period. I had a nice, wonderful guy that you could never meet nowadays. But this guy's on it. It's my friends, too, but when you get a service, you think you got one big family. The guys you're with is your buddy. They say they laugh at your buddy. What is your buddy? But for your buddies, that's like giving a service. You're in war. They side by side. You have to fight side by side. Protect each other. help each other out as much as it would be needed. I just says, I want us to come over here, make this interview. That's kind of shaky, like a new movie star start off. But I don't know what to say, or anything like that. But I tried my best to figure out what I had did. Now, right to this day, I remember what I had when I was a little boy. Like, when I go fishing, or something like that. But it was a raising river around Monroe now, going through Monroe, raising river. Well, when the ice froze over, it was cold years ago. I would say the winter was winters. They had ice at least 12 inches thick in the river. Them were the good old fashioned winters. Nowadays, it was cold. That's why people wasn't as sick as they are today. There's so much sickness going around now, and it's the weather. The weather gets cold, it's warm, it gets cold, weather, rain, snows. The next day it's 70 degrees. Well, years ago they had them old-fashioned winters. Nobody had cold, sinuses, anything like that. That I can remember. Because I used to jump in snowbanks 6 foot deep and dig my own holes like ground holes and never got sick. Today is different. The world's going on, but it's going too fast. But I used to talk about the ice in the river. Well, when the river gets kind of thawed and breaking up, then the water washed the back up and it brought the ice up in the fields. Well, my neighbor and I, he is quite a character. Norman Allen. He's about the same age. He could have been a little older than I am. I don't know. So anyway, we went to see the Puckett Pond. The name of the old place is the Puckett's Pond because the people lived right above the little hill. Their name was Puckett. The name of the pond, Puckett's Pond. And the whole neighborhood knew that was Puckett's Pond. So anyway, the ice come up way up in the fields. Worked its way up in the field. The fish came along with it in the ice. When the ice broke up in the fields, this big, great big old carp, I thought, boy, if I get this big fish, I'm going to have something behind the biggest saucers, seeing that big fish. So I dug down in the slushy ice and all that there, and I dug that old fish out there. It must have been 3 foot long. I thought it was three, four foot long. I thought it was. Okay? But there was a big fish. But the carp is a carp. No, I think it is. But I thought, boy, oh boy, I got something that I never forget. I dragged that thing home. It was dragging ground. I was dragging home. I was proud of, you don't know what. Well, I didn't really catch it, Rick, because there was nothing to catch it with. It was in ice. And you dug, when the water was sun. Melted that ice, the fish laying on the ground. Just go ahead and pick them up. They had a lot of fish years ago in that place. I don't know what happened to them. Well, I don't go fishing anymore. I don't go fishing that place, but there probably are fish in there. But I don't know if anybody, they catch the fish out more out in the lake than they do in the river. Like perch and all that there, and big. Big mouth bass and all that there and all that. Well, it'd be purchased farther out. something else when as they grow up, too. I want to tell you about my brother. My brother Bob is, I'd say, 3 years older than I am. And guys used to pick on him all the time. Pick on my brother Bob. Well, I had a pair of glasses. They're round, real, real small, round glasses. And I told my mother, "Mother, after Bob again." Well, I just go up and took my son and my glasses off and threw them out in the middle of the front yard, okay? I go up and fight his battles. Before he is up fight, then next day, couldn't find my glasses. They had everybody in the family, and even the neighbors, looking for my glasses. Every time I fight or want to take care of my brother's battles, I threw my glasses down. It's a wonder I didn't step on them and break them all to pieces. And people, other people with her. But sure enough, there's about, I'd say, 6 inches wide at the most, round glasses, little rim glasses. And I pick them up, put them on my head. Next morning, just like new. Everybody says, "Well, Harold's going to fight again." And there goes his glasses. My mother says, "There he goes. Throw his glasses down." Hightail it down in the corner of the road. Start, "Mom, go get fight with them guys. They're after Bob." They're always picking on Bob. They used to pick on me, too, later in my childhood. The one guy used to pick on me on that one. I used to be scared of him, too, but we used to fight. But I start taking care of my own self then.